Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio from Boise, Idaho. This is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, send it to me, box13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives. Well, today's episode is brought to you by the financial support of our listeners. Thank you so much for your support. And I especially want to thank Brian and Douglas and Justine so much for their support. We'll send access to our premium site. And we'll also send their choice of for a donation of $20 or more, their choice of an ebook, either All I Needed to Know I Learned from Columbo or one of my superhero comedies, Tales of the Dim Night, Fly Another Day, or Powerhouse Hard Pressed. Plus, we'll send one additional thank you gift. Among the options available are the Colonial Radio Theater programs. And I've talked about the mysteries, but we also have some great adventure programs that are available, such as Zorro and the Pirate Raiders and Zorro Rides Again, as well as King Solomon's Mines, one of my absolute favorites, and those are available with a donation of $20 or more, and you can view all the options at support.greatdetectives.net. Well, now it's time for our very last episode of the lineup in this run. This is the second-to-last episode of the lineup ever aired, and there were four lost episodes between the program we played last week and this one. The good news is that this is not a rehearsal, because I'd hate to end on a rehearsal. This episode aired on February the 13th, 1953, and the title is Good Enough to Eat.
Ladies and gentlemen, we take you now by transcription behind the scenes of a police headquarters in a great American city, where under the cold, glaring lights will pass before us the innocent, the vagrant, the thief, the murderer. This is the lineup.
Lieutenant Guthrie.
Oh, I'm glad to know you, Lieutenant. I wasn't sure I was in the right place.
Yes, this is it. Now, we can sit down over here.
Oh, sure. Any way you say, sir.
Excuse me, please. Pardon me.
I feel kind of embarrassed, Lieutenant.
Well, no need to.
Well, I thought I knew my way around, and I fall for the old badger game.
Happens every day.
Yeah, I suppose so. First time it ever happened to me, though.
May I have your attention, please? You people out there on the other side of the wire in the audience room, may I have your attention, please? Thank you. My name is Cogger, Sergeant Pete Cogger. I'll explain the lineup to you. Each of the suspects you will see will be numbered. I'll call off a number, their name, and charge. If you have any questions or identifications, please remember the number assigned to the prisoner as I call his name. At the end of each line, when I ask for questions or identifications, call out the number. If you're sure or not too sure of the suspect, have him held. The questions I ask these suspects are merely to get a natural tone of voice, so do not pay too much attention to their answers, as they often lie. All right, bring on the line. Okay, move on up to the end of the stage. Right over here. Step it up. You there, I said, move over here. That's it. Now turn all of you and face the screen. That's right, look straight ahead. Keep your hands at your sides. When I ask your questions, talk up. It's a long way to the back of the room out there, so sing out. All right, number one, Murray Nostol, drunk assault. Step right up there, Murray. Right up to the line. That's it. Where do you live, Murray?
Where are you, Sheriff?
Answer the question, Murray. Where do you live?
1851 Amherst Story.
How long you lived there?
You're wasting your time, Sergeant.
How long?
3 years, but you're wasting your time.
You didn't waste any last night, Murray.
That's what I'm telling you. I done it all right, so why are you yakking?
What'd you do, Murray?
Sock her in the puss, that's what.
Who'd you sock?
My mother-in-law.
Why'd you hit her, Murray?
She had it coming, that's why. 3 years we lived with that dame all the time, yakking. Drive a guy nuts all the time, yakking. So I shut her up.
Did a pretty good job of it, Murray. She's in the hospital.
She won't be there long.
It's not what the doctor says. Two broken ribs, broken nose.
Her jaw ain't broken. Wait till she starts yakking at the doc. You can kick her out fast.
All right, Murray, slide down.
3 years we lived with that dame.
Oh, I said slide down. All right, number two. Wesley Humperdinck, armed robbery. Step right up there, Wes. That's it. Where do you live? Talk up, Wes. What number on Sawyer?
I don't know. Some kind of flop house. I don't have a number.
How long you lived there, Wes?
A couple of days.
Where'd you live before that?
Some other joint.
Where?
I don't know. Where? Some other joint.
What kind of work do you do?
I ain't working.
When you do work, what do you do?
Nothing special. Pick up a couple of bucks here, there.
How much did you pick up last night, Wes?
Didn't pick up nothing.
Hyman Rosenberg says different.
Who's he?
Owns Rosenberg's Delicatessen on 14th Street.
I don't know him.
He was held up last night, Wes.
That's no skin off of me.
Resting officers picked you up half block away.
Stinking bulls pushing guys around.
Where'd you get the gun?
What gun?
You had a .32 caliber Colt on you, Wes.
I didn't have no gun.
It was in your pocket when you were arrested.
I don't know nothing about no gun.
Let's see, you say...
Hey, man, careful.
Put him up or I'll blow your lousy head off.
I don't know, but he's got Doug Dorson in his office. Let him say something about wholesale man.
Out of West.
Be right.
Put him up or I'll blow your lousy head off.
Come on in, Ben. Sit down.
Hi, Bill. Doc?
Ben?
Yeah? What's up?
Tell him, Doc.
Ever hear of Clostridium botulatum, Ben?
Well, I don't think so. What is it?
A microscopic bacillus that causes botulism, a form of food poisoning.
Sounds like the blue plate special at Charlie's Cafe.
You never ate food poisoned by Clostridium botulinum, or you wouldn't be here.
Is that deadly, huh?
Ben, it's practically 100% fatal unless antitoxin's given in time. Even then, mortality will run close to 65%.
Pleasant stuff to run into.
Fortunately, it's comparatively rare. Only 7 cases reported here in the past 5 years.
Well, what's our interest in it now?
Well, 4 of those cases popped up in the last 24 hours, Ben. 3 more suspected but not verified have just been admitted to receiving hospital.
Any fatalities?
3 already dead. 2 more expected to die before morning.
How do you account for it, Doc?
That's the trouble, Ben. I can't.
No connection between these people?
None.
Well, it must be some.
Look for yourself. Outside of Carl Walker and his young grandson who died of it, all the others are from different families, different parts of the city.
What causes this food poisoning, Doc?
Well, usually a poor job of home canning. Food sealed up tight before it's been boiled long enough to kill the bacillus.
That's just the point, Ben. Maybe one family that eats spoiled home canned food, but not 6 different families in different parts of the city in 24 hours. It doesn't make sense.
Unless somebody's deliberately spreading the poison stuff around town.
Yeah, that's why you're here.
Yeah. Any idea at all what these people might have been eating? Who might be spreading it around?
Nothing.
That's the help.
You better work fast, Ben. It's odorless and tasteless. Just a bite of food with that stuff in it is enough.
Any idea where you're going to start, Ben?
No, but I better come up with one in a hurry.
Need a job like this?
Yeah.
Bad enough with one death in a family, but 2.
Can't be helped. Careful of that wreath in the door.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, Mr. Walker?
Yes, that's right.
We're police officers, Mr. Walker. Could we talk to you for a minute, please?
Well, is it something important, officer? We're rather upset right now.
Yes, sir, we know. That's why we're here.
Oh, about Bobby and my father?
Yes, sir. We won't take up much of your time.
Well, all right, come on.
Thanks.
The den's down there. There's no need to bother my wife.
Well, I hope it will be necessary. necessary, Mr. Walker.
She's in the living room with some friends. She's taking it pretty hard.
Yes.
In here, please. Go ahead. Now, you said you're police officers?
Yes, I'm Lieutenant Guthrie. This is Sergeant Cargan.
All right, Sergeant. Well, Lieutenant, I'm afraid I don't understand what the police have to do with this.
Well, we are trying to find out what happened to your son and father, Mr. Walker.
Well, it's simple enough, isn't it? They ate something, the food was poisoned. They died.
Well, it's not as simple as that, Mr. Walker.
Well, what difference does it make how simple it is? My boy is dead and your being here isn't going to bring him back to life.
It might stop some other man's son from dying.
I'm sorry, Lieutenant. How can I help you?
Does your wife have any home canned foods in the house?
The doctor asked us that, too. No, my wife works. She's always too busy.
Yeah. Any friends give her some? Neighbors?
No. No, we checked that. We just don't have any.
What about your dinner the night before? Serve any canned foods at all?
Well, my wife prepared a list for the doctor. Copy here on the desk. Lieutenant, see for yourself. There's nothing.
Chicken, mashed potatoes and gravy, Brussels sprouts, mushrooms, layer cake, coffee. What about those mushrooms?
No, we all ate everything. No one else got sick, only my father and Bobby. Well, whatever they ate that poisoned them, Lieutenant, wasn't in this house.
Any idea what it might have been, where they might have eaten something?
Well, as far as we know, my father wasn't out of the house that day. When Bobby came home from playing ball, he was hungry as a bear. Said he hadn't anything to eat since lunch.
I see.
He's a great one for playing ball, Bobby was. This is his first baseman, Smith. He wanted to be a ball player. I played a little summer for all my time, and he wanted to take after me. He'd have made it, too. He'd getting pretty good. He was better than me. That little kid had a batting average of... I guess that's all I can tell you, Lieutenant. It's all we know. It hit us out of a blue sky. I just hope it can stop from happening to any other families.
We're going to try, Mr. Walker.
Well, we've sure been doing fine.
Yeah.
Driving all over town, talking to people who don't feel like talking to anybody. We come up with nothing.
And we've had one break.
What's that?
No other cases reported so far.
Maybe there won't be.
There'll be more.
You still think somebody's passing out poison food around town?
Has to be.
How can you figure it? None of these people knew each other. All ate different foods. There's no connection.
It's there someplace. We've got to find it.
Any idea, huh?
Maybe
we'll have some luck here.
All units on 13K, call in, urgent. All units on 13K, stand by. Car 13K, call in, urgent.
13K, Guthrie, go ahead.
To 13K, proceed at once to receiving hospital emergency ward. Proceed at once to receiving hospital emergency ward, codes 1 and 2.
13K, Guthrie, receiving hospital, roll call.
Getting rough, Ben. Five more cases in the last 2 hours. Prognosis unfavorable in three of them.
Any more information, Doc?
That's why I had the call put out for you. In here. We drew the usual blank with four of them, Ben, but I wanted you to talk to this man. His name's Ronson. He keeps on saying something about his... Well, you can hear him for yourself.
I can't breathe. Do something, please. You gotta help.
In the last stages, progressive paralysis affecting the respiratory tract.
Lousy free lunch. That's what it is. Sick.
That's it, Guthrie. That's what he's been saying.
Ronson. Listen to me. Where'd you have that free lunch?
Free lunch?
Where'd you have the free lunch, Ronson? Some bar? Do you have it at some bar? Where is this bar, Ronson? Where is it? Where's the bar, Ronson?
On
Madison? That where it is, Madison Street? Is that bar on Madison Street? Ronson, is that bar on Madison Street? Ronson?
That's it, Guthrie?
Yeah.
What do you think?
Could be part of our answer.
Sure, a quick drink and a bite at a downtown bar. That'll explain men from different families in different parts of town being hit.
Yeah. Only I hope Ronson was wrong.
Why is that?
Any idea how many people can drop into a bar in 24 hours? And we don't even know where it is.
Life savings of an eccentric recluse stolen. It's a startling theft that leads to sudden death. The Hidden Fortune murder case confronting Mr. Keene, tracer of lost persons, this Friday night. Don't miss this program from the very beginning to get all the clues and see how you'd make out in Mr. Keene's place. Remember, this Friday night and every Friday night, mystery fans have an appointment with Mr. Keene, tracer of lost persons, presented on most of these same stations by CBS Radio.
Died about an hour ago at receiving hospital.
I got the report.
He managed to talk a little. Thought he got sick from a free lunch at some bar. Might have been on Madison Street.
Told you the address or what he ate?
I didn't have a chance.
Sounds pretty vague, man.
Best we've got so far.
What are you doing on?
Four squads are checking all the bars on Madison. Carger, Ash, and Burton are interrogating at receiving hospital.
Any report?
Not yet.
Could be real rough. Contaminated food passed out at a bar. No telling how many people would hit.
I got the papers and radio stations working on it. They'll put out the story and inform the public.
Well, you want to start a citywide panic with this thing, Ben?
Nine people are already dead. I have to take a chance, Bill.
Okay, keep me posted.
All right. How'd you do, Pete?
Think we might have something, Ben.
What?
Well, two of the people at the hospital managed to talk some. One of them had been making the rounds of Madison Street bars the night before. Had something to eat in a couple of them. Couldn't remember which ones, though.
Uh-huh.
The other one was too far gone to say much. But they both remembered some of the things they'd eaten.
Any similarity?
Yeah. Marinated mushroom.
Mushrooms?
That's right.
Brian.
Yeah,
sir. Get me Finley Walker on the phone. You'll find his number on that list of families hit by the food poisoning.
Okay, sir.
You think it ties in?
Only point of similarity we've had.
Walkers don't fit in, Ben.
I had mushrooms for dinner, the boy and his grandfather dying.
Neither one of them could have been at a bar. The rest of the family ate them, too.
There's a tie-in someplace. It's gotta be. Yeah, Quine?
A Philly worker's on the phone, Ben. We got some reports on Madison Street bars.
Bring in what you've got, Quine.
Right, then.
This is Lieutenant Guthrie, Mr. Walker.
Yes, Lieutenant?
Those mushrooms you had for dinner the other night, you sure they weren't canned?
Yes, I'm positive, Lieutenant. I told you that. Why?
How were they served, Mr. Walker? Plain, marinated, how?
Well, we had them both plain and marinated, Lieutenant. Mrs. Walker and I like them plain. Well, that is sautéed a little. My father had the marinated ones. Why do you ask?
What about your son, Bobby?
Bobby had them plain.
You sure?
I'm positive. He didn't like them any other way. I remember my father coaxed him to try the marinated ones, and he didn't like them at all.
Then he did taste them.
Yes. Yes, I can still remember the face he made. You'd think those mushrooms were poisoned.
I'm sure of it. Remember where you got them?
No. I don't do any of the shopping, Lieutenant, but my wife would.
Would you mind asking her, Mr. Walker?
Well, she isn't home right now. She went for a ride with some friends to kind of get her mind off of things.
We'll have her call in the minute she gets home, Mr. Walker, and check your refrigerator and shelves right now for any leftover mushrooms.
All right.
Send a man out to pick them up.
All right, Lieutenant, but I still can't believe there's anything wrong with those mushrooms.
Just don't try tasting any.
No. No, I won't, Lieutenant. Goodbye.
Those reports, Clint?
Yeah, man. The boys have covered about 35 bars so far. Only four of them served any kind of free food.
Well, let's see the reports on those.
Here's the one you want to see, Ben.
Happy Hooligan, 1427 North Madison Street, owner Carl Schweigert. Reports dispensing the following free foods the evening of Monday, February 9th. Pickled beets, Swiss cheese, rye bread. Homemade marinated mushrooms. Is that the only one?
That's it.
Okay, let's go.
Yeah, that's right, Lieutenant. I handed out some mushrooms last Monday night. Home marinated stuff.
You marinate them yourself, Carl?
Me? What do I know from mushrooms? I got them from a guy.
What guy, Carl?
There's some drunk. He walked me a Monday morning carrying a real load. Made me a deal.
What kind of a deal?
Well, he had a half dozen jars of these here mushrooms. They tried to sell them to me. I give him a brush off, so he offers me a deal. Give me the stuff for a bottle of mustard pelt.
Is that what you did?
Sure. What have I got to lose? So I put the stuff out on the bar.
Who is this guy who made the deal, Carl?
For some drunk, like I said. I never saw him before.
Now, what's he look like?
Like a drunk. Dirty, needs a shave. I see hundreds of them. Who knows what he looks like?
Any idea where he got those mushrooms?
They were homemade, that's all I know.
How do you know?
What's this one of Josh?
There was a label on them?
No label, just a hunk of paper pasted on the writing.
Well, what did it say?
For something about somebody's homemade mushrooms. I don't know, Lieutenant. I didn't pay no attention.
How many jars of this stuff did you use, Colonel?
Only one. That kind of stuff don't go here to good. Strictly a salami and cheese joint. See, what's the beef about these here mushrooms anyway?
You got the rest of those jars around?
Yeah, back here, I'll show you. You know, like I said, the stuff don't go so good here. So I dumped the five jars I got left in the trash can this morning.
Trash can?
There's nothing to worry about. Jars are right on top. You can look them over easy.
Trash cans are empty, Carl.
Well, you like that? Collected already, huh? Oh, was out here a half hour ago.
You can't remember the name on those jars?
Look, like I said, Lieutenant, I didn't pay no attention. Now, what's the difference, anyways? I ain't gonna get any more of this stuff.
Over here, Ben. How'd you do, Quinn?
Not too good. Truck's checked in and dumped its load.
You sure?
That's what the superintendent says.
Any idea where it was dumped?
Yeah, that big hill of refuse over there. Every truck that's come in today is dumped on there.
That routine?
Yeah. Every day's trash is dumped in one big heap, then they run it all over that conveyor belt, pick out the salvage that way.
Okay. Tell them to get the belt going.
You kidding, Ben?
Only one way to find out who's putting up those mushrooms. Get the name and address off those jars.
That pile of trash is 20 feet high, maybe 40, 50 feet around.
Have any better ideas?
I'll tell them to start the bell.
What's her address?
There isn't any, just the name. No address. don't think I'll work here after all. No future.
Come in, Pete. How'd you do on the line?
Oh, we ran 87 of them through, Ben. Winos, drunks, vagrants, nothing. Carl Schweiger swears he's going to sell his bar. Can't stand looking at another drunk.
No.
How'd you do?
Doc Gerson put the mushrooms through the lab.
Oh, did it pan out?
Enough botulism toxin in that jar to kill an army.
Doc know why?
Mushrooms not cooked. Jar sealed tight. The stuff thrives on treatment like that.
Well, at least we know what happened. Now all we have to do is find Mama Rosa.
Any suggestions?
Beats me.
No.
Want some coffee?
No, thanks.
There'll be some way to find her, Ben.
Well, papers and radio stations are with us. Every cop in town is working on it.
Should be only a question of time.
Time ran out for 9 people already.
I guess. I hate to think this Mama Rosa's cooking up another batch of the stuff somewhere in town.
8 to 5 she is.
Probably. Once she starts peddling it around again.
Yeah. I've gone down to R&I. Checked through the pure foods violations.
Already been through them once, haven't you?
I have to do something. Blew my top just sitting around here. I'll get it. Lieutenant Guthrie.
Lieutenant, this is Finley Walker.
Oh, yes, Mr. Walker. Your wife come home?
No, not yet, but I just talked to her on the phone.
She remember where she got those mushrooms?
Yes, our cleaning woman was over that day. She was quitting to go into some kind of business for herself, and she brought them as a sort of a farewell present.
What's her name, Mr. Walker?
Stefano, Mrs. Alfredo Stefano.
Alfredo Stefano, yeah. You know where she lives?
Yes, it's 923 Dickens Place. Yeah. It's out on the west side somewhere, I think.
Build these tenements a long way up.
Yeah.
5 stories. Every time a cop wants to check on somebody, they got to live on the top floor.
Uh-huh.
Someday I'm going to figure out why.
Uh-huh. Right here.
Yes.
Are you Mrs. Stefano?
Yes.
We're police officers, Mrs. Stefano. Could we talk to you for a minute, please?
Police?
Yes, that's right. We'd like to talk to you, please.
Mi fratello.
What's that, Mrs. Stefano?
That's my brother, Andrea. He's so drunk. Has he been arrested?
Well, nothing like that, Mrs. Stefano. We'd just like to ask you a few questions.
Oh, sure. Come on. Please, come in, please.
Thanks, ma'am.
You come in the kitchen. I'm a cook in there. You excuse me, huh?
Well, that's all right, Mrs. Stefano.
Oh, that's a brother, that's Andrea. Always the vino. I don't see him for 2-3 days now. When he used the police, I think he's going to get arrested again.
No, it's not that, Mrs. Stefano.
This here's my kitchen. It looks good, huh?
Yeah, real good, man.
You're doing a lot of cooking, aren't you, Mrs. Stefano?
Oh, see, I must start a new business here. Mama Rosa and a homemade cook.
You're cooking up special foods and selling them around town. Is that it, Mrs. Stefano?
Si, that's right, senor. For 15 years, I dream of this. My own business. I save up $2,000. Now I'm a start. I cook, my brother Andrea, he sells. Soon we're going to have a big business.
Ever applied for a license, man?
Come on.
Oh, you have to have a permit to operate a business like this, Mrs. Stefano.
What for, my Mama Rosa, need a permit?
Well, city health inspectors have to check, make sure the place is clean, food prepared properly.
Clean? You look around yourself. You ever see a place more clean than it?
Looks all right, ma'am.
Yeah, sure, it's all right. And what's that you say about the food? Nobody has to tell Mama Rosa about the food. She cook fine. She cook just perfect.
I'm sure you do, ma'am.
You said your brother Andrea sells for you, Mrs. Stefano?
Yes. Mama Rosa, she cook. Andrea, he sells.
Has he sold anything for you so far?
I don't know. He's not come back yet. It's 3 days now he's not come back.
What did he take with him to sell, Mrs. Stefano?
Oh, right here. Mushroom with the marinade. You see, Mama Rosa's homemade mushrooms with the marinade.
How many of these jars did he take, Mrs. Stefano?
6 jars.
You sure it was only six?
Sure. It was a sixth jar. That's what you call a sample, huh?
How much more of this have you got around, Mrs. Stefano?
Oh, I put up a 20-30 jar.
All of it in that cabinet?
Yeah, it's all in there. When Andrea gets back, he's going to sell that too. Make a big business for Mama Rosa. After 15 years, it's a big business of my own. It's pretty good, huh?
It's fine, Mrs. Stefano.
Here, you take this jar for yourself. You're going to see what Mama Rosa means. Look at the color, signor. With the wine, olive oil. Looks just so fine, no?
Yeah. Looks good enough to eat.
Welcome back. Well, this definitely ended with a top spot for Guthrie and Carter. Because the one thing I kept wondering, and we never got the answer, is how do you tell this sweet old lady who's worked hard and wants to start a business that not only is her business ruined, but that her cooking practices have led to the deaths of 9 people? That's an incredibly difficult duty to deal with. And I think that, you know, it was just a tragic thing the way it turned out. And we definitely felt the weight of the dilemma, even though it really wasn't resolved in this episode in terms of how this would be addressed. We have actually heard an earlier episode, earlier this season, there was an episode of Dr. Tim centering in on food poisoning. And there was an, and this isn't the only one. This does seem to be an issue of warning about the dangers of poorly cooked food and how it, or poorly canned food and how it can be a killer. You know, I guess that sometimes, even to things that we perceive negatively, there can be a positive. Because I've heard people say that, you know, nobody cans anymore, but, this does bring home a reason why there were some people would be reluctant to can, because there were, people who, you know, and certainly there were lots of people who knew how to do it, well. And, we don't mean to say that, but, for everything, there can be a bit of a downside. I don't know if the police would normally take the lead in an investigation like this. But whether there be the health department or something else. I do know that this is probably more realistic than the approach of Dr. Tim, where a kindly doctor and his two precocious kid friends investigated. Well, now on to some listener comments and feedback. Brian says that I continue to enjoy all your podcasts. Keep them coming. Thanks so much, Brian. And Douglas says, thanks for your great and continuing work. My wife and I both especially love the Johnny Dollar shows and your associated commentary. Justine says, thank you so much for putting out all your podcasts. I really enjoy the chance to listen to such a wide variety of detective shows. I also have been thoroughly enjoying the War podcast. I listen while I'm working in my leather shop. These shows can make a long day of stamping much more interesting. Thanks so much, Justine. And if you'd like to listen to the War, be sure to go to otrdetectives.com/the war. And we've got a great podcast of World War II programs, and I appreciate both Brian and Justine referencing it. And Michelle says, I have your app on my Kindle, iPhone, iPod, and iPad. So no matter what device I pick up, I can always get in my fix for great detectives. I found your podcast by accident one day while working on a Sherlock Holmes project for college. I work full-time for an insurance company as a claims adjuster, and I don't have the ability to sit and read, but can listen to books on tape. Normally, though, I hate that sort of thing as people drone on and on reading, but I was behind on my project and was hoping for inspiration. I got it, and an A on my paper and kept hearing you mention Johnny Dollar and figured I would give it a try. I was hooked from the first episode I listened to. Now I can't live without Sherlock. Johnny Let George Do It, The Lineup, Nick Carter, or Mr. Into, or any of the other shows. Thank you for your dedication and hard work. I would be lost without great detectives. Well, thanks so much, Michelle. And also, there's a comment from Chris who says, love the show. I know a lot of old-time radio-related books have been discussed on the show over the years, so my apologies if this has already been reviewed, but have you read The Badge? True and terrifying crime stories that could not be presented on TV from the creator and star of Dragnet. I saw it on Amazon the other day. Thanks. Well, thanks for the question, Chris, and I'm not too much into kind of shocking true crime stories, but since Jack Webb wrote it, I should probably read it, and it's definitely would be something I would pick up. I've just got to remember to do it and hope it's not too extreme, but I definitely do intend to take a look at it. One other thing I did mean to mention before we left is something that really struck me as funny when we were listening to the lineup. It was where they were advertising Mr. Keen, and one of the big suggestions that they made was to tune in at the beginning so you can hear all the clues. And that kind of left me scratching my head, because don't people do that by default? I don't know, are there some listeners then or now who just tune into shows in the middle because they want to try and figure out not only what's happened, what the solution to the case, but everything that came before it? That was just, it just really tickled my funny bone when they said that, because it's like, what? Or do you just tune into the end to hear the solution? That actually is the best part, but I hope our listeners do continue listen to beginning, middle, and end. That's generally the best way, but other people's experience may vary. All right, well, that will do it for today. Coming up tomorrow, our very last day of listener support campaign specials, we will take you to one more show we're going to play eventually in the future, but not anytime soon. Just give you a little bit of a flavor of it. The lineup is over, but join us back here next Saturday for Police Blotter for 2 weeks, and then Homicide O'Kane and for 1 week, and then after that, we'll be into Police Headquarters for 18 weeks. The lineup, I'll give a closing thought on the lineup. I thought that it was a fairly well-done show. Certainly, it had its flaws, and sometimes it could get a little too dry. But I enjoyed bringing it to you. I particularly enjoyed the Wally Mayer area. I wish that there were more episodes of that, and who knows, there may be some that do come forward in coming months and years, and we can certainly revisit the series. This has been the fourth longest period for any series, 62 weeks, so 3 weeks longer than we had Barry Craig on the show. So I hope you've enjoyed it, and of course we are just about 5 months away from bringing back Dragnet, so a lot to look forward to, and I hope you'll be there with us for it all. In the meantime, if you have a comment, send it to me, box13@greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter, Radio Detectives, and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives. But from Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.